Joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline, here's our TSN Hockey Insider. Back on overdrive, Chris Johnston. CJ, what do you make of this Robertson scenario? Do you feel like, in terms of a percentage, how close to 100% is it that he will be in the lineup opening night?
Well, it's not that close in my mind. I mean, maybe 50%, 60%. Okay. And, you know, I say that in part just because of his status, right? I mean, he can be sent to the American Hockey League without needing waivers. You know, some of the other players vying for depth positions, the forward group, don't have the same situation. And so I think he has to keep doing what he's doing, in that if he keeps forcing their hand, if he's just so good that they feel that they have to take him, then, you know, that's what will happen. I don't think that they're going to do it just because he's waiver exempt, but, you know, we still got a couple more games here that I would expect we'll see him play in. And I feel like he has to leave no doubt in the coaching staff and management's eyes that he deserves one of those spots. And if it's a little bit more 50-50 when it comes to, you know, October 10th or 11th, when they're making those final calls, I mean, maybe he gets sent down for a time. I mean, I'm at 100%. We're going to see him play NHL games this year. You know, the way you start the season, of course, isn't the way you necessarily end it. But, you know, I still think he's got some work to do to earn a spot to be playing in the first game of the season.
By my count, I think the Leafs have 49 contracts, so there's one NHL one available. Do you think a guy like Zach Aston-Reese will get that one?
Yeah, I would be surprised at this point, Noodles, if he wasn't signed and potentially pretty soon here in the next few days. You know, I think that he came to camp on a tryout, but I think there's a pretty good understanding that there was a job there for him, as long as everything, you know, was, you know, above board, if he was in shape and things were okay. And I've got no reason to believe that, you know, that's changed, since he came to camp. And so, you know, it's kind of an interesting spot that would, you know, if the Leafs make that signing, it puts them at 50 contracts. Would mean in the short term, they can't claim anyone off waivers or what have you. You know, it kind of locks you in that way. It would have to be body in for body out for any new player that would be added to the situation. But yeah, I do think that Aston-Reese will get that job. And then, you know, really the sort of battle, if you want to think of it that way, for the next week and a half is, you know, who is the 11th, 12th, and maybe a 13th forward, depending on how many they carry entering the year.
Yeah, there does seem to be a lot of names popping up on the radar. Like, you know, Malgin is here. Obviously, he's playing. You've got, you know, Wayne Simmonds, who's been here for quite some time. Obey Kubel.
Godet.
Yeah, like names of NHL value, but not all of them can play. So what are you hearing on, you know, how they may plan on using the bottom end of the roster and specifically the depth at forward?
Well, I think it truly is a decision in terms of which of those players stand out enough to earn the job. I don't think that there's much else working against them. You know, Wayne Simmonds earns a little bit more than league minimum, but by and large, everybody in that band is basically earning the same amount of cap space. And so it's not necessarily a decision about that. It's really just the versatility and who the coaches want to have with them. You know, I think one of the troubles or the challenges in handicapping where the Leafs will be at to start the season is, you know, I don't know where all these injuries are going to leave them. If you know, some of these guys have longer term injuries than we're led to believe at the moment, you know, they actually have tons of cap room. You know, if all of Pierre Engvall and John Tavares, you know, even Jordy Benn are capable of being in the mix, you know, within the first week or two of the regular season, then, you know, it is a bit of a cap balancing act for Brandon Pridham in the Leafs front office. And so, you know, without knowing that, and of course, you know, they're playing a game tonight. You know, someone could get injured tonight and it changes the whole picture. So it's a pretty fluid situation. It's probably the best way to consider it. And you know, I certainly don't think any decisions are made. That's why I even approached your Robertson question the way I did. Obviously he's earning high praise and he's looked good in a couple of preseason games, but, you know, it's not a lock for him because he's got to keep doing that and force their hand and then maybe force them to consider putting one of those veteran players or more veteran players on waivers and sending them to the AHL, you know, in order to keep them.
A lot of noise around Pontus Holmberg. Where do you think he ends up at the end of the day? I mean, is he a good call-up or do you think that he might be sniffing around a shot at some point too?
Well, I think he's sniffing around because, you know, he can play center, which is a benefit. And, you know, it doesn't seem like John Tavares is trending where you were talking about having him play the games right out of the gate. And so, you know, Holmberg, if he keeps making, you know, I think a good impression for himself, has a chance to at least start the year with the big club. You know, if they get healthy pretty quickly, you know, I think it'll be hard for him to stay there. You know, once Tavares and company come back, but, you know, he's kind of ripped up the charts. I mean, he came over, if I'm not mistaken, at the end of last season and played some games in the AHL. And I recall Kyle Dubas sort of identifying him among a handful of guys that they saw as having a potential after last season to have a crack at an NHL job this year. And it's kind of continued in terms of positive momentum for him. So, you know, I like his chances to, you know, I think he's certainly, maybe if you go back 2 or 3 years, no one was necessarily predicting this for him, but, you know, he's trending in a good direction, and I think he's got a shot with, you know, a bit of an opening at center now, you know, provided the next week goes well.
With Chris Johnston, our TSN Hockey Insider, obviously a lot of conversations revolving around the goaltending and the shuffle this offseason with Matt Murray coming in, Ilya Samsonov coming in. And it's the preseason, so I'm not sure what we can really take out of this in terms of changing our minds for how we project the regular season. But being around the team and down there at camp, what are you picking up on in terms of confidence surrounding that position? Not necessarily from the players involved, but from teammates, coaches, management, et cetera.
Well, it's been a pretty positive vibe, which you'd expect. I mean, look, no one's lost a game yet anywhere in the league. I mean, it's a time to see the hope in every situation. And, you know, it seems to me there's been a bit of a concerted effort, and I think it's quite wise to, you know, talk the guys up. And you know, no matter what we want to focus on with Matt Murray's last few years, and I think all those questions are fair and the conversation's fair, you know, he's still someone who walks in the dressing room and has, you know, played games to win the Stanley Cup and helped his team deliver a victory. You know, he's won that trophy twice. He's played big playoff moments and won those games, and the Leafs haven't had a goalie, and I'm not hanging it all on the goalie's shoulders, but that have done that in the last 5 or 6 years, right? There's been, between Jack Campbell and Freddie Anderson, chances to close out playoff series, and you know, they haven't had that happen, and that's something at least Matt Murray's done in particular. And so I think this has probably gone as well as you could hope. If I'm not mistaken, I don't think Murray or Samsonov have let in a goal in the preseason action they played yet. So there's been no sort of reason for anyone to get too panicked. And, you know, it seems like there's a pretty positive vibe around the guys. But, you know, we all know it's a long season. Things are going to happen. I mean, right out of the gate for the regular season, the Leafs play, you know, Wednesday and Thursday night back-to-back. So I'm presuming we'll see them both get a start before the season gets too far in. And you know, there's always a chance it doesn't go so smoothly. But, you know, so far I would say it's about what you'd hope for if you're Leafs management. And, you know, I'm curious in particular with Murray where he's at. I mean, I think it's clear he's got an edge in terms of probably, you know, getting the first start of the season, playing a little bit more of the games in everyone's mind, assuming that he can back that up with the performance they need to you know, see it through.
With Chris Johnston, we haven't had you on in a while, CJ, and everyone's, you know, made their opinions clear of where they stand on Kyle Dubas is a lame duck GM going into his final season. I read your article. You read as if you're a pretty big advocate of the job he's done and a believer in the job he'll do in the future. How did you come to that conclusion? Why do you believe Dubas is the right man for this job moving forward?
Well, I think when we're talking with the GM in particular, it's a longer-term evaluation, right? You know, any move a GM makes today, and of course there's some exceptions, you know, a team trying to win the cup like the Leafs, of course there's going to be deadline moves that you're going to find out in 2 to 3 months if they were good moves. But in general, I think you need someone at the top that's thinking a little bigger picture. And I just have a difficult time thinking that it should matter one way or another that the Leafs win a playoff round in April of this coming year, and, you know, whether he stays or not. I mean, to me, you either think he's good enough now, and I do. But if you don't, if you need to see a playoff win, I mean, to me, that seems like a bit of flimsy logic. And, you know, any way you slice it, Kyle Dubas is not even 40 years old. And the Leafs have just come off their two best regular seasons in the entire history of the organization in terms of points percentage. I think he's done a really nice job building the secondary part of the team around the core that obviously takes up a chunk of cap space. And I know that the haters are going to say, well, you know, he should have done a better job negotiating those deals. Well, part of what's happened is the cap didn't go up in the years that you had Matthews and Marner and Nylander and Tavares signed. I mean, that nobody predicted that. And but yet, in the face of this period where I think it's been a particular challenge for the Leafs to build out a team, I think he's done a great job. He's given them a chance to move forward, and I think you can see progression. As, you know, and I know the seasons end the same way, but to me, when you're looking at your GM, you have to look at all that process-related stuff. And you know, the final word I'll put on this is that, you know, this is a big season. We all know for what happens on the ice, but you know, when this season's over, you know, Austin Matthews will have a decision to make about his future. I would think that the organization will want his name on a contract as, you know, on July 1st, 2023, or as close to that as possible, which is when he's allowed to sign that deal. And, you know, I think there's a lot of comfort between them, you know, Matthews and his agent, John Muldaver and Dubas. I think that relationship is all in a good place. I think that, quite frankly, there's not a lot of reason to worry about, you know, Austin Matthews' future in Toronto at this moment. I do believe it would be his intention to sign an extension at that point in time. And I think it would be really risky if in May you decide to make a change to the GM and, you know, what
so you
that
think
might do.
Matthews' future could be connected to Dubas in some capacity?
I should be clear. I don't think it's directly connected. But my point is if you're running the team and you're looking at the entire picture, I mean, the fact that everything is on a good track, to me, I wouldn't want to disrupt anything in the middle. And look, at the end of the day, Austin Matthews will stay in Toronto or not. He has all the cards. He's an unrestricted free agent in 2024. I mean, he can do whatever he wants. He's one of the best players in the league. I think he's held up his end of the deal. You know, I don't know that a GM will affect it one way or another exclusively, but to me, this is a good situation the Leafs have going. And you know, I think it'd be risky to not bring Kyle Dubas back. I know he's comfortable playing this out, but I actually think there's some risk for the organization in not, you know, signing him up and not, you know, maybe showing a little bit more loyalty to him. But you know, let's see how it plays out. That's just my opinion. I'm one voice in the marketplace. You know, I just think that it's hard for me to look at the job he's done and say that he hasn't put the Leafs in a position to win every year. And I think they're in a position to win again this year. And I think he's a really smart guy that and hasn't fallen into place yet. But I would want him to keep having the chances at it versus the unknown of who you're bringing in beyond him.
Well, how would you – where does Shanahan come into play on this? In other words, if it's determined Dubas isn't the guy in the future, does that mean Shanahan shouldn't be the guy in the future? Like, he's right in there as well. And who would be making this call? Shanahan with autonomy? Or when does ownership get involved if they choke out again in the playoffs?
Well, I think that's where we're at now, right? I mean, it's probably a hard sell at the ownership level that the GM or anybody should have security under the circumstances. You know, I don't know where it would go next, honestly. I mean, we're dealing with a pretty big hypothetical before the season's even started. But, you know, Brendan Shanahan, I think, has still a few years left on his deal. You know, I don't have any specific criticism for him. I mean, his job isn't day-to-day making moves around the team. Obviously, a lot of his work is in things in the community and with ownership. And I don't know if he would get to choose the next GM if they're that ever got to that point. But, you know, to me, I just it seems kind of silly to even have it hanging there. You know, let's say the Leafs have 110 points this year, just to pick a number, but a big number. They make the playoffs comfortably. They play a great team again. They lose a game 7. I get that we're all going to be screaming into the phones and on Twitter and everything, but I mean, does that mean you need to start again with a GM? I mean, to me, the answer is no, but it might be different at that level.
How long is your leash there, though, Chris? Like, no, I'm not trying to grill you here, but let's say the next 3 years they finish on average 112 points a year and lose in the first round. Like, at what point do you say, wow, something like, what are you, you know, are you building for a regular season or are you building for the playoffs? Because it is a different game, you know.
Fair question. I think, you know, to me, looking at the bigger picture, like if you go to Cap Friendly right now and look at the Leafs page, I mean, they have a ton of UFAs and RFAs. Like there's a huge opportunity next summer, no matter how this plays out, to turn things over and to do a lot of different things. I would still give Kyle Dubas a chance to do that. I mean, that's my prerogative. I don't have... Mm-hmm. To me, I don't see who else out there you want to hire. And I'm not saying there aren't other smart people that can't do the job. But to me, when you hire a new GM, like you're giving them 2 years to figure out the organization, right? Like when I hear Kent Hughes in Montreal speaking or, you know, even Jim Rutherford and Patrick Alvin in Vancouver, like they're still figuring out what's going on there. And it's hard to imagine bringing someone in and it just paying immediate results. I kind of feel like you're down this road with Kyle Dubas. I like the job he's done. I think he's changed his approach at times. He's certainly not just, he's bringing back the same four forwards, but there's been a ton of change around them and they've continued to get better. And I would give him more chances to get it right, even if they don't manage to get it right this year. But, you know, I'm just, again, a voice on the radio. I don't have a chance to actually affect change in the organization, and we're going to see what they're going to do.
CJ, what do you make of all the injuries throughout the league? I mean, it's, shortened off-season, bubble, you know, condensed seasons. You think everyone's kind of, it's catching up to people?
It feels that way, unfortunately. I mean, I guess this happens always. I don't think it's a lack of conditioning, but, you know, it's somewhat convenient in some cases because there's so many teams that are right up against the cap noodles. So, you know, having players get injured, no team likes that, but it does maybe allow for a bit more flexibility. Maybe some of those cases, the team isn't rushing the guy back if they're like, hey, look, take your time and, you know, allow us to work through the cap end of this while you get healthy. But yeah, it feels like there's the injury report's getting long. I mean, it's pretty long even on the Leafs end of things, to start the year. And, you know, it's not even from playing preseason games necessarily. It's not as though there's a slew of bad hits that we're going and critiquing. It's just, you know, getting back up to speed and the conditioning. That's asked for the guys, you know, right when they jump into camp.
Well, it's still over a week away. You still got a bunch of preseason games, and I'm sure there will be more injuries. It's just a matter of recovery, and hopefully you don't lose anyone for the season, really. But we'll see where it goes. Great having you back, CJ. We'll do it again soon. Thank you for this, buddy.
Awesome. Good to talk to you guys.
There he is, Chris Johnston, our TSN Hockey Insider, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Build your next dream Toyota at Maple Toyota. And check out Maple Toyota's pre-owned inventory arriving daily. It's time to Toyota. Visit MapleToyota.com. So Leafs-Habs tonight. And a couple more preseason games. Before you know it, it's going to be opening night.
Yeah. I mean, I was looking. I forgot they opened with the back-to-back, right, on the road and then home to Washington. So you're right. I think you'll split the goalies. Would make sense. Murray gets opening night and Samsonov against his former team. On home ice.
Little redemption game. There you go.
Redemption game there. Like, I don't know. I'm just looking at it. Like, they play four games in their first six nights. So, you know, it's hit the ground running here. That's the thing. Like, looking at Tavares' timeline, like, even if he's a couple weeks away, you're still talking six, seven games.
Maybe. He's going to miss, sure.
You know, and that's where it is opportunity for guys like Nick Robertson. You know, to slide in there if Kerfoot slides back to the center of the ice. Then you've got Kampf, and now, you know, you've got some depth at that position. It just looks a little bit different. Nylander can take draws, and you know, I think it's an opportunity for young guys to push through. That's why I asked about Zach Aston-Reese. I think they might have formally maybe like a handshake deal. And
sounds
like,
that way.
Yeah,
I mean, I think that makes sense. You know, like it's not like he's had a great camp, but he's not the type of player that's going to be flashy in a preseason game.
No, I don't
game.
Think you notice. I think when he's good, you don't notice him other than, you know, he forechecks, he can be a heavy body. You know, you want some guys that are tougher to play against. Like I was looking at this, and their bottom six isn't big household names, but you want them to be effective. And that's where, you know, if Dubas wants his team to be hard to play against, Yarncrook, Aston-Reese, guys like that who have a little pace to them, have a little bite to them. Like when he brought in Blackwell, that's what I was thinking. Blackwell was a guy who, you know, out of Seattle was tough to play against, played for the Rangers a little bit too. Like you want heavier bodies that can be tough to play against. Like Kyle's not going to bring in Nicholas Deslauriers. That's just not the
No, he's not bringing in like fighters and right. like monsters. And
no, he's
it's not going to happen. But
right.
they're not a big team. They're not a physically daunting team. It's not going to happen.
Right.
Like if Dubas is the GM, it's not going to happen. And I'm not sure it's going to happen for anyone in 2022. You know,
no.
It's certainly not the conventional definition of tough to play against, which means you could have six guys that want to fight and you know brawls and hits, and that's not going to happen. But listen, they're pinching pennies too. They just don't have a lot of money. They don't have a lot of options. That's the nature of the salary cap, and that's where they're at. So
yeah,
Leafs Habs tonight.